Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's call this the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something new popping up there, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three E's.
All right, Dan, I need you to help me out and do something for me, because I just can't deal with listening to these athletes anymore. I can't put up, and Chris Bryant was the last one, I think, yesterday here locally, listening to these idiots talk about how they don't feel safe when they're reporting to their bubble or workout or whatever you want to call the damn thing. Oh, well, you know, I don't feel safe doing this, and, you know, I have a family to worry about, and I have this or I have that. Dan, I go to work every frickin' day in very close proximity to people. We're not separated by the 6 feet that's, you know, suggested. Very few people wear masks. Now, okay, I don't have a family, but, you know, I, you know, have my concerns as well. Unfortunately, I don't have a platform to sit there and piss and moan about it. So, Dan, I would really like you to step in and just get these people to shut up, because I deal with it every, well, 5 days a week I deal with it. And, you know, there's nobody there asking me, you know, if I'm, you know, concerned.
Well, not only that, then why are you there? You have the option to opt out. So opt out. You don't feel safe, you don't feel comfortable, don't go. I mean, and there's, it's black, it's, this is literally black and white. Well, maybe not literally, because we have that issue going on still, but, you know, I mean, it's, there's no gray area in this. It's either you go or you don't. What's the, the issue?
Well, here, I can tell you the issue here, Dan. I did finally find this out after you and I have talked about it quite a few times. If Mookie Betts and Chris Bryant and these other guys who are headed towards free agency but are still in the arbitration process, if they do not play, it sets their free agency back a year. Now, you know, Brian has already taken a hit losing that grievance after the odd call-up situation. And we know, you know, Mookie Betts is going to be a free agent after whatever kind of season we have this year. If they were to decide to sit out, it moves that time frame back. And, you know, so basically what this is literally it's about money, and they're going to use this as their way of basically trying to get your sympathy, you know. But I mean, if you're, you know, if you're one of the people out there working, you know, you didn't have the luxury to maybe work from home, or, you know, fortunately you weren't laid off, you know, you're in constant contact with people all the time. You know, I mean, there's, you know, and, you know, nobody's, you know, worried about your safety, but yet we're supposed to worry about a guy who's making millions of dollars because he's concerned or she's concerned, because I've heard some of the WNBA players voice their displeasure as well. You know, and like you said, Dan, it's plain and simple. David Price decided not to go yesterday. Felix Hernandez decided not to go. Don't go. You know, it's completely your option. But, yeah, I mean, it's just got to stop. I mean, it's not like whatever sport it is, baseball, football, basketball, hockey, tennis, golf, NASCAR, it's not like they're attempting to take every step possible to keep their people safe, because obviously the last thing they want is a spread of this. But, yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous. And then to come from a guy like Chris Bryant, instead of Anthony Rizzo, who may actually be categorized as high risk because he's had a battle with cancer, it makes it even worse because, you know, here's Rizzo out there chugging along, and we've got to listen to this other chump because he's worried.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can't take that away from him being worried. But, again, you have two options. Don't go.
Yeah.
That takes all the worry out of everything, is you don't go. You're barely 20. I don't even remember. Is he 25 yet?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. Let me do your favorite search engine and find out for you real quick. He's actually 28. So, but yeah, you know, like Dan was saying, I mean, I completely understand him being worried. But I just don't want to hear about it. Do you think I'm not worried every morning when I walk out the door? You know, I mean, I was sick for a month. You think I want to go through that again? You know, I mean, luckily it never got too bad for me, but I still don't want to go through it again.
Well, not only that, I had an acquaintance. I'd like to call him my friend, but, you know, never met him. Friends through Facebook, really cool guy. You know, busting his ass 14 hours a day, every day, during this whole COVID thing. Less than 2 weeks ago, he was quarantined, and then 4 days later, he was gone.
Yeah.
He was worried.
So, I can understand. You know, out of all the sports so far, because I can't count football in this because they really haven't started anything, I can understand the baseball players maybe having a bit more concern because they're not going into, you want to call it the bubble, the hub cities, however you want to look at it. But, you know, they're not going into one central area. They're basically going to go to the stadium, play their games, and go home. So, you know, there may be an opportunity for them to contact more people than, say, you know, an NBA or a WNBA player or an NHL player, because they'll be, I don't know, semi-quarantined, however you want to look at it, but they're all going to be in that one place while their season is going on, where a baseball player, like I said, is not only going to go back and forth, they're going to travel because they're going to have road games. You know, luckily they're not going to be massive road games. You're going to stick around to, you know, your general area, which will help things out. So, you know, I can understand that. And, you know, Dan, I mean, I guess maybe it doesn't even bother me that he's concerned. I think I'd probably be more worried if he wasn't. You know, my biggest problem is just the fact that I don't want to hear it because I got to go out the damn door five mornings a week. So I don't need one more thing on my mind when I'm going out the door, you know, listening to Chris Bryant tell me his concerns about it. You think I don't hear it every damn day? I don't know. That just kind of made me insane. So.
Yeah, it would too. And I mean, again, you know, it's your decision. It's nobody else's to make for you.
Yeah. So, you know, and then the other thing that I'm a little baffled by, because I would be interested to know. Let's go with this, Dan. Let's say if a white NFL player had done this, I would be interested to know what the reaction would be. You know, unfortunately, this tweet was gone before I could actually find it. But DeSean Jackson, who is a member of the Philadelphia Eagles, actually posted a tweet that turned out to be a quote from Adolf Hitler. Now, to no surprise, the tweet has been deleted, and Jackson has come out and apologized. But I guess what I'm interested in here, Dan, you know, is your opinion, because apparently this apology is enough for people, where I'm kind of under the impression that if this may have been a white NFL player, they would be telling his team that they have to cut him. So
yeah.
I'm interested to get your take on it here.
No, that's pretty much exactly how it would go down. You know,
so,
I mean,
yeah,
you know, you're a white man, so you oppress every other race beneath you, even though, you know, those that were the oppressors, that percentage of Americans with their families still alive today, I don't even think would even result in, what, 5%? Because as they talk about the world wealth, the billionaires of this world, they're only in the top 2%. Essentially, all the ones that have the money and make everything the way it is and the rest of us suffer, there's 2%. So you can't tell me that, you know, it kind of goes back to the Shannon Sharp discussion. You know, it's, don't get me wrong, there's still a lot of racist people, and it's not just white people. It's every race. And,
yeah,
you know, it goes all ways. So, but no, you're right. If a white man had said it, and, you know, if Eminem had said it, you know, it would be interesting. And I bring him up because now he's gone on talking about how he's embarrassed to be white. So it's interesting. But, you know, I mean, it's a thing we're never going to win. You know, when it comes to race relations,
yeah,
the discussion is never going to pan out the way you want it to. You know, if you disagree, you're racist. If you agree, then great. And now we're on the same plane, but that's not how it works. You know, I mean, it's, again, you know, I'll say it again. Racism will never stop until we take a look at ourselves and those within any race, you know, stop hating not only other races, but your own race based on that, you know. And what do I mean by that? Well, you know, I'm half Mexican and half a lot of other things that, you know, if you ask some of my ancestors, they might not even consider themselves white, but, you know, you've got Far Eastern Europeans for countries that border Russia that don't exist anymore. You know, one of my great grandparents came here from Hawaii, or as they say, Hawaii. You know, I've got that going on. But if you put me in a room with a bunch of Mexicans, I would be told I'm not a real Mexican because I don't speak Spanish. And if you looked at me now, especially spending the last 2-3 weeks out in the sun, put me in a room full of white people, even though kind of half white, I would only be a Mexican. And they would hear my last name and spell it in a Spanish way, even though it's the most non-Spanish last name there is. So, you know, until that stops, it's, you know, it's never going to go away.
I always spell your last name in the most Spanish way possible.
Yeah, and you know, and that's another thing is you'll never see me walk into a restaurant. You know, I would call it a Mexican restaurant, but we just call them restaurants. I never walk into a restaurant and not to stereotype, but when the busboy brings me a glass of water, I'm not like, hey, what up? I feel a wetback. You know, we don't do that. So once all that kind of stops, then the racist stuff will stop. But it's not going to. And I know there's a lot of people that don't like to hear that, but I don't foresee it happening. If it does, it'll be 100 years before that changes. Because no, it's never going to happen because you still have bigots preaching and teaching. You know, you still have, I mean, look at Chicago. Chicago is probably one of the most ethnically diverse cities that I've been in. But at the same time, it is the most ethnically segregated city. You know what I mean? I mean, you'll have some overlap, but, and I'm not going to say a white neighborhood and a black neighborhood. No, and you know, Big Jack, I mean, you're not that far off from the city, but it travels. You have your neighborhood. You have your Italian neighborhood, or as my mother-in-law likes to say, the Italians. I don't know why that's so strong with them. That's always our joke, you know. But you have your Italian neighborhoods. You have your American black neighborhoods. You'll have your Middle Eastern neighborhoods. You know, when you go out in the suburbs, you get a little bit more of a mix. But when you're in the city, that's so integrated, ethnically diverse, it's still super segregated for every single race. You know what I mean? And I mean, even out here in the suburbs, you know, there's quote unquote black neighborhood. And I mean, there's really crappy houses, just like in the really crappy white neighborhoods. And there's mansions, you know, that even I'm driving past going, damn, wish I could live in those. You know what I mean? And it wouldn't matter to me what kind of neighborhood it is. Just a nice damn house. But we're still that segregated. So until we can get to that point, it's not going to happen. I mean, there was even, I was going to say Herman Cain, but I forget who it was. He's a former football player. He's in politics now. And he even made the statement, in which I was like, I'm glad one person sees it, because I feel like I'm the only one who sees it, is that we're not going towards equality. We're going back to segregation. And he brought it up that there's supposedly like a black national anthem that they're going to start playing at football games before the national anthem. And he, you know, his quote was, I thought we were getting away from segregation. Maybe don't quote me on that, but in those terms, and yet we're segregating. I mean, if you're going to do that, if there's one Mexican guy on the team, are you going to play the Mexican national anthem? And then, you know, if we were here in Chicago, we had that whole, you know, guy who was born in Hawaii, I forgot his name, but would we have the Hawaiian anthem? Are we going to have the French? You know, like, it'll be a long introduction.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, obviously back to Deshaun Jackson, the Eagles have came out and said the team would take appropriate action. I have a feeling that that appropriate action is just going to kind of be a meeting between the sides, and they're going to come out and say that Deshaun understood that, you know, he was wrong and he apologized for it, and, you know, that's all that's said and done. Where, again, if it, you know, would have been, you know, one of the white players on the team, there would have been a gigantic uproar, and people would have been saying, yeah, you know, he needs to be relieved.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, well, you know, that was just a couple of the, you know, the lovely issues that were bothering me to start the day, was how they, you know, how they worked that. And that, you know, Dan, I'm not a big quote person on you know, social media. I don't put up a ton of quotes, but I think if I did, I would probably want to know who said it before I put it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, see, but that's the thing of this generation. And I'm not talking generation because I don't even know how DeSean Jackson is to begin with. But the way this world works today is go on Pinterest or you're following somebody on Facebook, Twitter, or in Reddit, and you just see stupid crap and you repost it. Well, look at this quote. You know, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm assuming none of my friends with quotation marks from Facebook are listening because that's how it is. But any of my friends that consistently post stupid inspirational posts, they get unfollowed. I'm like, I'm not going to unfriend you, but I don't want to, you know, see that bull crap. Because are you putting that for yourself? Because I don't really care. No offense. But if I needed inspirational things, I'll look them up for myself. I'm just an...
You just call me...
Cynical.
Right? Oh.
Yeah. Cynical jerk, right?
Yeah. So, but, yeah, that was... Yeah, just kind of the, you know, the oddity there. But, you know, all right. Well, let's move on to the, of course, the gigantic story here. The past couple days, Dan, I'm guessing if you need a loan or anything by any chance, you got to reach out to Patrick Mahomes. 10-year deal, and the reports are, I believe, the number has been $450 million with the opportunity to go to $507 million. Good work if you can get it, and people don't want their kids playing football because it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, and, you know, I'm disappointed because you're not a big-time football guy or especially a fan of the team that I would like you to be. I might actually have to break down and call Mr. Fantasy. But let's go back to it because we brought it up before. The Bears traded up from number three to number two. They gave up a bunch of stuff to move up that one draft pick and get their future quarterback. And it was Mitchell Trubisky. And eight picks later, the Chiefs traded into the first round with the Buffalo Bills to select Patrick Mahomes. Dan, that's never going to get old for me. I don't know about you. I just think that's incredible.
Well, and, you know, here's one of the moments I'd really love to get Uncle Bob's perspective because I know he'd have a great one. Even if I didn't agree with him, either way, it would be a great conversation to have with him. But, you know, unfortunately we can't have that. And I don't know, I think just the fact that I opened up Facebook whenever that happened and saw your posts, you know, just think, Bears fans, at least you don't have to cough up all that money. Well, you know, and the funny thing is when you posted that, I laughed. Of course I laughed. You know, it's funny. But then the second thing came around to me. And, you know, I was just like, he makes a good point there. But there's another part of that. Would they even go that route? Would they even pay that?
Yeah, it's always difficult to know with the Bears because it's not really their style to hand out those long, you know, those big money long-term contracts. And you know, and to be honest with you, nothing against Patrick Mahomes, but if he was playing for the Bears, he probably wouldn't be worthy of that kind of contract because I doubt he would be coming off, you know, a Super Bowl MVP type season just because of the way the Bears' offense is set up. You know, while obviously it's clear that he's a better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears blew the draft pick, I don't know if he would have been in line for that kind of money had he been a Bear. So, You know, those are the things. I mean, like, it's fun to, you know, throw that out there because there's a lot of Bears fans on my page. And, you know, yeah, I thought it was great. You know, they saved themselves over $400 million by drafting Trubisky over Mahomes. But, yeah, in reality, I honestly don't even think the Bears would have been negotiating with him just yet. And they would have just picked up the fifth-year option on his contract. Unlike they did with Trubisky, and then tried to work something out. So it's just two different organizations that, you know, one is run like the family business, which is what the Bears are. You know, like Dan has mentioned before, that, you know, most of these owners have outside interest where they have made their money. The Bears are one of the few teams that are not like that. The Bears are the Halas McCaskey family business. You know, that's how they make their money. That's how they do their whole spiel. You know, there's no oil company or steel company that they made family money from, you know, a billion years ago or, you know, nothing like that. It's the football team that pays their bills, where the Chiefs are, you know, run by a guy who, you know, had made his money somewhere else. So, yeah, I don't know if it would have been the same situation. It would have been different, and I don't think, you know, as great it would be to say, well, you know, if we had drafted Patrick Mahomes, we would have won the Super Bowl. You know, hey, it's great to say that, but I don't think it would have happened. So, you know, just unfortunately, just the way the Bears are run.
No, it just, I don't know. But your comment, it just was like funny twofold because of, yeah, obviously, you know why. And, you know, it's interesting because the last Bears game, the only Bears game regular season I've ever gone to was this, you know, right before Christmas. Took my friend, diehard Raiders fan, and that was, you know, my invitation to him was like, hey, you want to go see the two football teams you hate? And he's like, which two? And I'm like, and when I, you know, he's like, and then he goes, what, the Bears and the Chiefs? Hell yeah, I'm down. You know, so it was, we had a good time, but, you know, it was amazing because I feel like for the first time in almost 10 years, you know, the Bears and the fans have just realized, like, are almost to the point where they're done. You know, are you done with this team? Kind of felt like, that's kind of what I feel like. Cause even, you know, for that time of the year, nobody was there. The place was Chiefs heaven, you know?
So, yeah. You know, I mean, again, it'll be interesting to see how this works out. Cause you know, notoriously when you give your quarterback a big deal, it's difficult to build the rest of the team around him. But, you know, I mean, apparently there is some team-friendly jargon in this contract. And, you know, I mean, we'll just know, you know, as it goes down the road, and we'll see, you know, if it works out for them, if it doesn't work out for them. You know, the one thing we know for sure is it's difficult to repeat in the NFL. So, I heard somebody talking, they're a dynasty now, because they signed their quarterback. And I think that's a little much. You know, they're a good team, and we'll see what happens come next year, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, I just thought it was, you know, obviously when you see the numbers, it's just amazing because this is, you know, this is the NFL where we don't normally see things like this. You know, normally the bigger contracts are in the shorter term, you know, like your guy, Kirk Cousins. You like that? Got a short-term really big deal from the Vikings. And I know like Khalil Mack got a decent contract from the Bears, but nothing close to this. So to see something come out like this where it's 10 years, I had a bad baseball flashback there with the Manny Machado, Bryce Harper type of deals that popped up. So, just something that I wasn't expecting and not used to. But we shall see. You know, it's just more fun for me to, you know, kind of laugh that the Bears drafted Mitchell Trubisky and now they've traded for another quarterback because they need a starter 4 years later.
Well, let me ask you this. And, you know, obviously you mentioned not a big diehard Bears fan or football fan to begin with. But so I wouldn't even say that you've been critical of Ryan Pace, but you've kind of been on – I wouldn't even say you're on his case or really anything negative. You just kind of put out essentially the facts of what he's done. And I think, you know, I'm the one who's a lot more negative, but aren't you at the point now where you just kind of step back and look at every decision he's made, except for maybe Khalil Mack, but, you know, that one couldn't help because he got hurt, whatever. But, I mean, he has done nothing in his time to further – the Bears into a championship team. He's literally done nothing. Every move he's made, it's a victim of circumstance, but, you know, you kind of make dumbass move after dumbass move, and you haven't really proven anything.
Yeah, you know, what seems odd with, you know, Ryan Pace is he's had some – you know, some successful draft picks. You know, he really has. When you look at it, I mean, you know, Tariq Cohen has been a really good non-first-round draft pick that he found. You know, Jordan Howard was a steal. You know, I think they got him in the fifth round. And, you know, I mean, it was just a flat-out steal for what they had. And, you know, unfortunately, the coach they hired, Howard, doesn't fit into his system, and he ended up getting traded because, God forbid, you want a guy – just because the guy isn't great catching the football, God forbid, you want a guy who can run the ball in between the tackles for basically over 1,000 yards a year if you give it to him. And, you know, instead we want to, you know, we want to play with, you know, magic – you know, and trickery instead of that other kind of stuff. But, yeah, you know, so there have been, you know, some successes that he's really found later in the draft, but for whatever issue, you know, whatever they do or however they go about it, he is just horrible in the first round. And you wonder if maybe it was almost a blessing in disguise that they made the Khalil Mack trade just so they didn't have those first round picks and he couldn't blow them. Because I don't know.
It's very true, but you know, it's not only that. It's the you know, even the whole Mitchell Trubisky, everything leading up to it. So you've kind of prepped everybody that you're going to be drafting a new quarterback while you should have been looking at it prior to Jay Cutler's departure, because while it may suck to know that your replacement's sitting behind you, you know, it's the NFL. You got to be ready. You know, Tom Brady always knew that what's his name was behind him. So, I mean, it's part of the game. You have to understand it. So, you know, I think Jay could have got over it or whatever, but, you know, leading up to it, so you pretty much hyped everyone up for this kid, and then you go and just drop $14 or $16 million on a guy who, oh, you loved when he was drafted, but hadn't done anything in the game. And it was proven. I mean, he was there for, what, 6 games or 8 games, barely, and then was taken out. It was a complete waste of everyone's time and money. You know,
yeah,
it's just – like, you're making those decisions, and you're making just – I don't even know what to call them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, unfortunately – The Bears have a notorious history of being really bad in the first round. And, I mean, you look at Ryan Pace's history. And, you know, he did take Roquan Smith, who looks like he's on track to be a very good player. But then there's Mitchell Trubisky, Leonard Floyd, who's no longer with the team, Kevin White, who you know I had huge issues with when they made that draft pick. And Mr. Fantasy and I actually got into a big argument right here on air over the Kevin White pick. I believe he still hasn't told me that I was right. You know, and then I think his first pick was Kyle Fuller, which turned out to be a very good pick. So, you know, he's got one really good pick, one pick that looks like it's on its way to being very good, and then three that are just what are going to turn out to be horrendous. You know, if he was hitting 400 in baseball, I would probably be a little more confident, but, you know, the fact that this is the NFL, I would have to start questioning what they're looking at, who's, you know, what their scouts look for, you know, how these things are kind of shaking out that we can't, you know, we can't seem to land top picks. You know, that would be my biggest concern, you know, but, you know, besides just the Ryan Pace factor would be, okay, what's our, you know, what's our internal problem that we're looking at here that for whatever reason, you know, when it, you know, when it comes to the first round, the best way to say it is we just screw the pooch, which is bad for the pooch, by the way. So, you know, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, otherwise, talent evaluating wise, he's found some really good guys in the late rounds that have really contributed to the team. But for whatever, that number one, you get that number one first round, you see that big light go on, that's eluded him for some reason. And, you know, maybe they work it out. I mean, they're in a division that is, you know, is very winnable. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is approaching 40, so you got to figure hopefully his skills will, begin to decline. You know, Minnesota is a quality team that just hasn't tried, you know, hasn't managed to get over the hump. And Detroit is basically in the same situation as the Bears. So they're in a division that they could easily start to win and command if they can just kind of figure out some of these, you know, and I mean, I don't want to call them little issues, but kind of these minor details like, you know, what brought you Mitchell Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes, over Deshaun Watson, over Lamar Jackson? You know, what was there? Because you're looking at a guy who didn't play a lot in college. I believe he only had 6 college games under his belt. But there was something there that made him stand out, where Mahomes had a stellar college record. He was throwing for, you know, 400 or 500 yards a game in the system he was in. Watson won a national championship, and I think Lamar Jackson won a Heisman Trophy. If not, I believe he was runner-up. So you've got those four, you know, those four quarterback fish in a barrel. What makes you pull Trubisky out? What did you see? You know, and that's where I would start looking right there. What did we evaluate that we saw this? Because obviously it was wrong and we need to fix it. You know, almost in a sense of, and, you know, it's a stretch of a comparison, but a little bit a la to the Billy Bean trying to pitch Moneyball to his old scouts who were set in their ways on doing things a certain way and weren't willing to open up and try something new. Pace has to sit down with these guys and say, okay, what did we miss and why did we miss it? Because there's something there that they're blowing in the first round. Oh, and I talked so long I needed a drink. That was ridiculous. So, and did any of that make sense, or was I just rambling?
No, it made complete sense. I have so much trouble, I guess you could say, with just understanding this team. And not only understanding them, but at the same token, it's like, you know, I've grown up here my entire life, you know, Bears, everything. But, you know, I think maybe the fact that my dad worked on Sundays. So while, you know, and my dad was a Bears fan, but my dad also grew up, you know, working in a, and I'm not trying to stereotype, but, you know, it's just kind of the older days, you know, working in a union with a lot of guys where gambling was prevalent, you know, and not that it has anything to do with being in a union, but, you know, that all kind of went hand in hand. You know, one of his union stewards turned the car one day and his car blew up and he died, you know, like that legitimately happened, you know. So, you know, kind of, I think growing up with my dad, though, and he was a Bears fan, but, you know, for him, it was the gambling aspect. That was what made it fun for him, my uncle, you know, some of the guys that would come over. And, you know, and they watched the Super Bowl every year. It didn't matter if the Bears, because they weren't in it since they were five. You know, I didn't have a dad who was, he still has the Bears jacket he got in 1988. Go figure, 87. But don't ask. It still fits. It's the chalk line, you know, the satin jackets, but, you know, whatever. I also think because he wasn't like this diehard guy that I just didn't fall into that. I'm a Bears fan. And then, you know, when I'm 40 now, so even by the time I was 30 and we're getting like this resurgence, you know, even the whole Urlacher era, you know, I'm sorry, but if you didn't live here, I think if the only people that would have hated him were Packers fans and maybe Vikings fans, but more so Packer fans. But, you know, Brian Urlacher was a lovable guy. I don't care. And that kind of goes in, but when you're in 2000, 2002, 2005, 2010, and we're still talking about the 85 Bears, like we literally have nothing else to talk about. You know, it's the 85 Bears and then it's Urlacher. That, you know, so for me, I always question, like, I get it. You want to be, you know, loyal to your team, but your team's making not making anything happen. You know, Devin Hester and Lovey made it to the Super Bowl without the resurgence of Jim McMahon, as my one ex-husband said. What was his name? I can't remember his name now. You know, they made it all the way to the Super Bowl with him. Without him.
Kyle Orton.
Because he was injured. No, they made it with Kyle Orton. I'm trying to think of the guy who...
Yeah, Rex Grossman.
Yeah, Grossman.
Rex Grossman.
You know, you make it all the way to the Super Bowl with Kyle Orton, and then your starter who played one game, you're like, oh, no, let's put him in. But, you know, and it made you wonder, was that a Lovey decision or was that a front office decision? Because whoever made it was a dumbass decision. And your whole game was set upon returns, and the Colts just shut that down, and then you lost your only chance since 1985. So here we are, 2020, and we're still, as Bear fans, oh, remember the coach Ditka, the coach, you know, he's still the coach. We should bring him back, dig up Walter Payton. Mongo McMichael's still out there, you know, to try to bring the team back. I don't know. It's just hard for me to have, like, this diehard love for them.
Well, I guess I got to ask you this then. Are we going to end up doing that with this Cubs team that just won the World Series here a few years ago?
Oh, most certainly. That's, you know, it's the same thing with the, you know, the, oh, my God, the Cubs. Oh, well, when's the last time your team won? You know, you guys haven't done anything. Oh, the White Sox fans. We won it. We did it first in 2005. Yeah. You both did one thing roughly 10 years apart. And I don't foresee it happening again. And I'm a Cub fan. I love the Cubs. I'd go every day if I could. But I don't see it because, you know, the way the system is. And Theo knew how to work and play within the rules that he was provided. And Major League Baseball, or the owners and the players, agreed and removed every little loophole that Theo was able to work with. Out, and now I just don't see it for happening again with Theo in the office.
Yeah, you know, that sadly is, you know, is a possibility. You know, they have closed up all his, you know, all his loopholes. So,
mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, you know, the one thing, the only saving grace for Theo right now is that the Ricketts don't care if he blames them for being, you know, that they're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Oh, why didn't you send this contract? Why didn't you do this? Oh, the front office said, you know, the owner said I don't have enough money. You know, things like that. And, you know, his record tells me that when things get too hot for Theo, he quits. He did it twice in Boston.
Yeah.
Did he grow up? Did he gain experience from that? I don't know. But I really foresee that if things were to get real hot for him in Chicago, he would quit.
So, yeah, that wouldn't be a, you know, wouldn't be a surprise at all to see him just kind of, you know, one day it's all of a sudden, oh, yeah, he resigned. Oh, okay, well, I guess that's not a shock. So,
I mean, can you imagine if the whole Chris Bryant thing was bigger than what it was?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's an interesting sports town that we live in here. You know, unfortunately, you know, well, I shouldn't say there hasn't been a lot of success because the Bulls were pretty successful for a long time, and the Blackhawks have done well. You know, just you know, the other three franchises have had their issues here. At least we got to see them all win championships in our lifetime, right?
Yeah, that is true. I don't really remember the Bears, but my dad did have that on VHS for many years. You know, the other thing, and this always comes up more so when we discuss the NBA, but what is it about Chicago that free agents don't really want to come here? You know, I mean, Illinois has the most ridiculous, the taxes. I think, you know, obviously that's going to play in when you're like, hey, which team am I going to go to? The team in Florida where I don't have to pay crap, or Illinois where I got to pay everybody every time I walk out, you know, every time I breathe.
Let me ask you this, and let me get your opinion on this while you brought it up about people not coming here. Just related to the Bulls. Do you think it's possible that a high-profile player wouldn't want to sign here because of the shadow that Michael Jordan still casts?
Hmm. Yeah, I could see that, but you would think that the competitive nature of any of these guys would want to supersede it. You know, I mean, one of the things we had discussed before was Anthony Davis and, you know, even D Rose, you know, the legacy of the Bulls and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, especially for Anthony Davis, everyone forgets that this kid didn't grow up with Michael Jordan. He grew up with LeBron, you know?
Yeah.
So I think Jordan definitely cast a shadow, but I mean, I guess what you're saying, maybe they feel they can't live up to it, and that's why LeBron didn't want to come here. I had to throw that one in there.
You know,
yeah.
If you think about it, you know, Jordan hasn't played in Chicago in how long? Is it 20 years yet? Or, you know, it seems like it's been a very long time since he last put on a Bulls uniform. But if you ask somebody about the Bulls, he's the first name coming out of their mouth. I mean, you know, they just did the 10-part special on him that was gigantic ratings. And, you know, we're talking about a guy that, you know, hasn't been on the court. So, you know, it's just odd the legacy that he has left behind. It is amazing, be it, you know, the shoes or the career or, you know, anything you look at. And, you know, you wonder, you know, when LeBron was a free agent and, you know, Dwayne Wade actually had a Chicago visit, you know, yeah, it was the 97-98 season was Jordan's last one here. You know, so, Wade visited, and, you just wonder, these were guys who were at the peak of their talent, but were still never as good as Michael. You know, imagine if they were to come here, sign, and the team didn't win. You know, what does that do to their reputation?
Yeah.
So,
how did they really affect D. Rose? Because he didn't live up to it.
Yeah, but he's always got the injury to fall back on. You know, because that first injury really derailed his career. He was looking like a guy who was going to be a legitimate top five NBA player for a long time. And, that first knee injury just ruined him, and then to get the second one right on top of it. So, you'll always be able to add that in when it comes to Rose. And it's unfortunate because it would have been interesting to know how he would have turned out.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you pointed this out many times now with the NBA. Why don't these top guys want to come to Chicago? Because they don't have any friends on the team. Zach LaVine isn't friends with LeBron. He's not hanging out with LeBron James.
Yeah.
So, they don't have that inside connection that you kind of need now in the NBA to get one of these guys to sign with you. So, unfortunately, that's just how it is. It's like, well, I'm going to go play with my buddy. come on. Your guy J.R. Smith just got a job because LeBron likes him. You can't tell me there aren't better basketball players out there than J.R. Smith. But he's LeBron's guy, so he got a job.
Yeah, well. If you're looking for anybody to stand outside the outside the 3-point zone, you want to throw up a brick. There's your guy.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't just one of those. The NBA is probably the oddest. The oddest league when it comes to free agency. A lot of free agency is, relatively easy. Well, this team has a need. They have the money. That kind of stuff. But, yeah, the NBA, it's kind of like, oh, hey, my buddy's playing here. I'm gonna sign here. Yeah, and that just kind of seems to be how it goes.
And do you think that's part of the reason you don't see a lot of the old-timers really hanging around? I mean, Scotty shows up, and he's courtside at Bulls games and this and that. And, obviously Jordan's wherever he's sitting when the Hornets are wherever they are, and he wants to be there. We had the former Nick who was out there for a while, but, he got banned. But, you really don't see, you don't really see these guys hanging out, or maybe it's just me. I'm not watching enough NBA, but it just seems like the guys that grew up, really made the league what it was or what it is, aren't really involved in it. I mean, would Charles really still be involved with it if TNT wasn't paying him a boatload of money? Because I'm assuming that he's got to be getting a boatload of money, because let's be honest, him and Shaq make that show.
Oh, yeah. Obviously that's such a difficult question to answer, but to be fair, John Paxson was a longtime Bull, and he's been in the front office for how long now? So he's still around. So obviously Michael's interests are elsewhere, owning another team, but, it's not with a lot of these guys. Remember, it's actually a little surprising that Scotty still comes around, because remember, he left with really hard feelings. You know, when he was traded away, there were some, you know, some really negative feelings, you know, between those two. But, you know, Horace Grant left before the second run. So, you know, Charles Oakley was gone. I think people associate Bill Cartwright as more of a Knick because he played the majority of his career there. I mean, would you be excited if Luke Longley, and, you know, Will Perdue is the radio guy, so he's still around, but would you be excited to see Luke Longley if he came back?
No, I don't know.
You know, and Steve Kerr does pop into town once a year with the Warriors.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when you think about it, there really aren't a ton of marquee names on that team between Mike, besides Michael and Scotty, are there?
No. Everyone loved B.J. Armstrong, though.
Right. You know, and you do wonder why he, you know, why we haven't seen more of B.J. You know, I don't know.
I mean, it's just interesting. Well, he was. He was D. Rose's agent, go figure. It's just interesting to me that, oh, God. The team that just defined an entire era of baseball or basketball, you don't have, like, that connection anymore.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, remember after the Bulls made that run, then the Houston Rockets went on that run. And I don't think you see guys like Clyde Drexler or Akeem Olajuwon hanging out with the Rockets now either.
No.
So you kind of wonder, you know, why they don't pop in more, or they're not featured a little more. I don't really know, but yeah, it's an interesting point. You know, I mean, obviously Magic is still a big influence with the Lakers, even though he did admit today that he has somebody else who tweets for him. I don't know if you saw that one.
Oh. No, I'm not. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, for the people that really think that Donald Trump has this cell phone or tablet sitting by his bedside all day, every day, and he's tweeting.
He doesn't? No.
Yeah. I mean, because it doesn't look like Nazi propaganda doesn't mean it's not propaganda.
Well, it's funny you brought that up because, you know, I don't care about political anything, but when you've got a guy tweeting for you, man, Dan, they've got to do their research because, you know, they're on the Bubba Wallace kick now. And they made the mistake of saying that the national ratings are down when they've been nothing but huge since their return. So, again, you know, you got a bunch of people working for you who just forgot to do their research. Not only does it happen at the Mickey Mouse Network, but it's with the President of the United States as well. So.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. That was not a political statement. That was a understanding the demographic statement and that the fact that Donald Trump is like a 70-year-old man. And I'm sorry, but I'm 40, and as much as I would love, I don't even tweet. Well, once in a while, but you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah, I'll get a couple out there when Clint Boyer's racing, what's going on, but yeah, I'm not the over-the-top tweeter either. So.
I try.
Look at that. But we'll be back tomorrow at 4:30. That was on Notes Group. SportsCallRadio.com. Look for the new blog popping up there tomorrow. Link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. You want all the way over there. But hey, while we were talking about Twitter, don't forget at SportsCallRadio. That's out there for you. I think I also on Twitter if you'd like to look at that. That would be cool. And hey, if you stop by and listen to us live, thank you. We appreciate you doing that. But remember, the podcast is available for you to listen to any time you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com.